Okay, we'll see, we'll go through it a couple times, I guess. Councilman Bell, Councilman Carter.
Here.
Councilman Cartier.
Here.
Councilwoman Diller.
Here.
Councilwoman Durham.
Here.
Council President Nagel. Councilman Hollins.
Here.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Here.
Councilman Sheldon.
Here.
Councilman Smiler's here. Councilman Street.
Here.
Councilman Taggart. Councilman Woods.
Here.
Okay, Councilman Bell, I see you're here. Councilman Taggart. I see Councilman David. Well, we'll grab him when he comes in. We have a pretty hefty agenda for the Finance Committee meeting, so if I can get a motion on the minutes of June 9th, 2020.
So moved.
Motion, second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. First on the agenda, resolution number 20-132, approving a credit under Newcastle County Code Section 14.03.003 of county taxes, building paid in error by the Mercantis. Councilwoman Dorr.
Thank you so much. Yes, this resolution is for a credit on taxes that were paid in error at no fault of the homeowner. Their property, their home had been incorrectly tagged in the county system by an assessor years ago, and it was just discovered when they went to pull a permit for something else a year or so ago, and that's when the error was discovered. So this aims to give that prorated amount back to them, and I don't know, I've been talking with Councilman Smiley about it. I don't know if he has anything he'd like to add at this point.
Yes, I've done, speaking with Councilwoman Durham and looking into some other issues on this particular situation here. In 2014, I brought forward and council adopted an ordinance which created a limit on the look back time of 5 years and an amount of $20,000. Well, in this situation, it has exceeded the 5 years, but the amount is well below the $20,000 cap. It's $2,165.92 is the funding that we're talking about. So I understand why we did that, but what I'd like to do is have council entertain. I'd like to make a motion that in this situation, we suspend the 5 year look back in order to allow the finance department and the CFO to execute a credit of $2,165.92 in accordance with resolution number 20-132.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so Ms. Durham, you can move your resolution through on the floor this evening.
Thank you so much.
Next, we have
the questions.
R20-135 to set Newcastle County's fiscal year 2021 contribution rate for the county's pension plans in accordance with the actuarial study and the position of the Retirement System Board of Trustees. They're proposing an adoption of an overall pension rate for the 2021 council year of 38.92%. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Councilor Shell.
Yeah. Just real quick, could we, I know with the Zoom and everything, but could we schedule our auditors and even our investment like you always used to?
Yeah.
For this to go up, there's two things. Age and interest isn't accumulating, and we had some good years, and if we're not making it in the good years, God help us.
Well, Councilman Sheldon, if it's all right, you to allow enough time to put that together, we schedule it for the second finance meeting in July, and that way we'll have it before the August break.
Sure. I don't care. The fourth week, that's fine. You don't have to jump through hoops.
Okay. Want to see the auditors and the actuaries, right? Okay, got it. Is there any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. Resolution number 20-136, to amend the FY 2021 capital program, appropriate up to $4,200 from the Recorder of Deeds technology fee account and up to $70,000 from the Newcastle County technology fee account within the Office of the Recorder of Deeds, totaling $74,200 to the Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion 2 capital project to support three technology initiatives. This is for the Recorder of Deeds digital signage in the lobby. That's $4,194.94. Motorcycle patrol laptop mounting gear for our mounted police. That's $20,682.24. And a Cradle Point panorama antenna, which is $48,822. Is there any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Hearing none. And Council President, you might want to make some notes as we go forward on these. Resolution number 20-137, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Corbett Calloway Memorial Library for library services for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $195,721. And Councilman Bell will be for managing this in finance and on the floor of council. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the annual contract with the Corbett Calloway Memorial Library in Odessa, the oldest free library in the state of Delaware. And the amount of $195,721 represents a 3% increase in their contractual amount.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Next, we have R20-138, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Delaware City Public Library for library services for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $194,996. And this will also be floor managed here and in council by Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pretty much the same as the Corbett Calloway, Delaware City Library, one of our contracted libraries, the $194,996. Represents an overall 3% increase in their contract funding.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything? Councilman Tackett. Unmute. There you go, bud.
That's it? Yep, I got
your
it.
Floor.
Got to press that space bar. Thank you. I think it's a good ordinance.
I owe you. Okay, next. Resolution number 20-139, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Middletown Square Office, LLC for the FY 2021 lease agreement for the Appaquidimic Library for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $155,848, and Councilman Carter will be for managing this in finance and on council. Councilman Carter.
Yes, this is just for the contract for a one-year lease. Not a multi-year lease for the Appaquidimic Library in anticipation of us not having a long-term lease as we build a new library very soon. It does have a slight monthly increase, which may reflect the shorter term lease and some other costs. Although I can say it's been pretty good to work with the property owner who worked with me recently to put handicap accessibility doors in it. So it's pretty straightforward, just shifting to a one-year lease to keep a existing library space until we have the new library built.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Resolution number 20-140, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Newcastle Public Library for library services for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $376,102. And this will be floor managed in finance and on the council floor from Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for the annual contracted library, Newcastle Public Library in the town of Newcastle. And the $376,102 included in that is a 3% overall increase in their contract funding for the next fiscal year.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Resolution number 20-141, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for State of Delaware Division of Service Center for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Service in the amount of $731,218.33. And this, says for hotel motel vouchers for the homeless during the COVID pandemic. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay, hearing none. Resolution number 20-142, authorize the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Ellesmere for FY 2021 lease agreement for the Ellesmere Library for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $55,737.72, and this will be forward managed and financed and in council by Councilman Woods. Councilman Woods, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this is also for the annual lease agreement for the Ellesmere Library and library that we keep making a little bit better every year. So, thank you.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Next, we have resolution number 20-143, authorize the execution of one purchase order contract for Wilmington Institute Library, Main and North Branch, for library services for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $1,641,154. Councilman Hollins will be forward managing in finance and in council. Councilman Hollins.
For title.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Ordinances. Ordinance number 20-066, amend the grants budget, appropriate $147,886 of federal funds from the United States Department of Justice, Victims of Crime Act, VOCA, Victim Assistance Program through the Delaware Criminal Justice Council, CJC, to the Criminal Justice Council, Newcastle County Police Department, expansion of victim services, fourth year grant to be administered by the Department of Public Safety. Councilman Bell or Councilman Street?
Councilman?
I guess it's you, Councilman Bell.
Okay. The funding for 2018-19 and FY20 was used to hire two additional temporary grant-funded victim assistance officers and temporarily promote a current victim's assistance officer with a grant funded 5% pay raise. The new funds will provide a fourth year of funding with the same purpose and will also support outreach materials, training, cost of cell phones for five advocates, and direct victim assistance when needed.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay, hearing none. Next, 20-067, amend the grants budget, appropriate $34,402 from the State of Delaware Department of Justice Special Law Enforcement Assistance Fund, SLEAP, to the SLEAP Power Hawk, NEREAT grant to be administered by the Department of Public Safety. Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This new tool is a battery-powered cutting system, and it's used to remotely control the cutting process to open an IED container and safely maintaining the collection of evidence.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Ordinance number 20-068, amend the FY 2021 capital budget, appropriate up to $4,200 from the Recorder of Deeds technology fee account and up to $70,000 from Newcastle County technology fee account within the Office of the Recorder of Deeds, totaling $74,200, to Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion 2 capital project to support the three technology existing initiatives. And this is the ordinance corresponding with your earlier resolution. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Hearing none, next on the agenda is grant request community events. We don't have any grants, however, we do have some changes that we need Clerk Hill to speak to. Ms. Hill?
Hi. Thank you. As you're all aware, we're moving to a new financial processing system. And with this change comes a self-service portal. So what will happen is each organization that's currently in our system is going to get an email in order to get payment from us in the future. They're going to have to register on the portal. What this will change, though, is that it will give them an opportunity to enter in their bank information and get direct deposit. So we could potentially not get paper checks for grant requests. So I just wanted to make you aware of this. It's not something that we can tell them that they can't do, nor do I think we would want to, but I know that council members like to mail the checks directly. So just knowing that this change will be that there could be some organizations that will have direct deposit. However, Tara and I will be able to see which organizations have signed up for this. So we'll be able to let you know if you have a grant that they will be receiving a direct deposit, and then you can reach out via letter, just letting them know that, you know, it's been processed and that they'll be receiving their money. But I did want to let you know about that change. It's something that we just found out about today. And I know that it will change your process somewhat. So I wanted to give you a heads up.
Any questions or comments? Okay. I have one. I'd like to put forward a motion to authorize the clerk and deputy clerk of council to work on the application, the grant application, and implement whatever language is necessary to make the grant applicants aware of what needs to be done, and submit that to all of council to look at. If anyone has an objection, let her know, and we would put it on the next finance agenda. What I'm trying not to do is hold up anyone that may have nonprofits or whatever waiting to submit a grant as soon as the new July budget kicks in.
Second.
Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? And by the way, she didn't know I was going to do that part. So, okay. Anything else, Ms. Hill?
Nope, that's all.
Okay. Next, we have expense and revenue roundtable. Anyone got anything? Okay. Next, we have a brief update on the CARES Act spending from Ms. Ford. I don't see her name up there yet, but I know she was out there.
I'll bring her over.
By the way, I did confirm with her earlier, she is not the great granddaughter of Henry Ford. I thought she had money, but she said no.
Good afternoon, council members. I just wanted to provide you with an update today. Hopefully everyone has had time to read the email I sent around lunchtime today, which identified the total spend, and also I identified or broke down the categories of spend, including the budget, the expenditures to date, and the balances for each of the categories you previously approved for the CARES Act spending. I also wanted to remind you that the checkbook is available online. It's a virtual checkbook. You can sort and search for the data by vendor and spend category. So to date, of the $85.35 million that you appropriated, we have spent $2.5 million, just over $2.5 million. The largest category of that is equipment. The four categories we've spent the largest amounts on, obviously, again, is communication equipment and personal computers. That was nearly $1.2 million. The $500,000 that went to the Delaware Community Foundation, and just over $500,000 in medical and safety supplies. Since the information is available online, and I did provide you the previous spend data by category, I don't want to inundate you with spend data, but if you have specific questions, I'd be happy to answer your questions or refer you to the CFO or the appropriate person.
Questions from any members of council? Ms. Ford, is while we have you here, I don't know if you were, I'm assuming you were listening in, so I'm going to save myself an email maybe. If you could make a note for the July 28th Finance Committee meeting, if we could have the actuary and those from the pension fund to discuss the increase, we're going to vote tonight, but we'd like to have, could you reach out to them for us?
I'll do that.
Okay. I think we had that as well last year. I think they came in and spoke with us. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Vicki, is it possible to add the auditor to these emails when you send them out to us?
Absolutely. And that was my oversight. I was supposed to do that this week, and I just copied last week's email all so I wouldn't forget anybody, and I forgot to add him.
That's fine. Not a problem. If you could just do that in the future, it would be appreciated.
Yep.
Well, thanks.
Any further? Okay. Thank you very much. Next, we have a reassessment litigation update from County Attorney Wilson Davis, and he advised me early on that he would not need an executive session for this. Mr. Davis, correct. You have the floor.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. As council is aware, a decision was issued recently that found the county's property reassessment system to be in violation of the law on several fronts. The Court of Chancery issued their decision, and the next step in the process is a remedy phase, which will require the county to effectively agree to a schedule for reassessment. We do not have that remedy phase in place, the schedule for it, rather. Pardon my dog. Somebody's just heard my dog. The court agreed to postpone the remedy phase until October to allow the county to understand the implications that COVID-19 would have on its fiscal budget. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit distracted by the dog. But we will be working with the plaintiffs to discuss a potential schedule for reassessment. There is therefore a significant amount of time for us to determine what our next steps are in terms of the litigation and ultimately potentially reassessment. There is not a closed door on appeal. There is the potential at the conclusion of this case to appeal the liability determination that the court issued. However, that as of now is on pause until we conclude the remedy phase of the litigation.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Davis? Thank you very much, sir.
George, if you could.
Yes, Councilman Cartier.
Mr. Davis, so this case involved the state government and the other two counties, is that correct?
Yes, there are two separate tracks. The one is involving the state government, and then the other track is the county track, which involves Sussex and Kent counties.
So all the other parties in the case were found to have the same degree of, I don't know what the term is.
It's very complicated, and I'm fortunate that I had other people litigating this for me because it is very technical. But the technical term is essentially the coefficient of dispersion, which is a metric that's used to determine how far out of line the assessed value is with fair market value. And in each case, the plaintiff's expert found that the coefficient of dispersion was too far afield to warrant or too far afield to justify the county's assessments.
My point is that every county entity and the state government are all in this case, have all got, an issue here. And I think that's important for everybody to keep in mind as we go forward. It's just not about New Castle County alone.
The one thing I clarify is that the state track, the split off proceeding has not reached the same level of finality that the county track has. That is still very much ongoing. They have not gone to trial. And so any finding of liability on the state's part has not yet arisen. But certainly it's true that the county, all three counties are found to be out of line in terms of their assessments.
Thank you.
Councilman Carter.
Yeah, well, in terms of the extra time to October, can you give us a little idea of what we will be assessing in terms of the impact of COVID-19? I mean, I understand we're worried about the fiscal impact and paying for the assessment, but I also want to remind us that we should have some socioeconomic considerations because the community's being hit hardest by COVID-19, the same ones that are probably being hit the hardest by inequities in the tax system. And I think we need to find a good balance there as a good government entity. So I'm just trying to get an idea of what scope and what is being considered and talked about and whether or not it will have that balanced approach of both economic impacts as well as socioeconomic impacts of delaying this much more.
So I think your question raises a couple of interesting points. Number one being the plaintiff's argument that this is an inequitable system and that it penalizes people who are on the lower end of the economic scale or whose home values are on the lower end of the economic scale. And I think there's not going to be an intentional delay, but reassessment really does take time. And what we're focused on now is simply the county's ability financially to perform a reassessment. I think initial estimates were in the neighborhood of $15 million. And so what we need to see is the impact on realty transfer tax, whether people can pay their tax bills, what is that going to look like come September? So that's really what the focus is now. People will not see changes to their tax bills just as a matter of timing until a few years after the reassessment is actually performed. So in some sense, it's a good thing because there will not be instability in the coming years. It will take probably 3 or 4 years based on estimates. And so there will be some stability. People won't be surprised by receiving a massive tax increase or vice versa. So I don't know if that's responsive to your question, but we are in the near term looking at the county's ability to pay for a reassessment. And the judge was, the vice chancellor was very, very much cognizant of that.
Okay.
I was negligent in placing on the record that Councilman Street has left the meeting prior to Mr. Davis providing his presentation to us on this issue. So, placing it on there now. Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. I know Councilman Carter's, probing into the issue of what are people going to be facing as a result of reassessment. I just want to talk about a little bit about this from my point of view. We're operating now on a 37-year-old assessment. And when we go to reassess properties, certainly a lot of them are going to show increases in value as we bring the value close to where the market value is. And the point of it is similar properties should be valued similarly. And then, but what's going to have to happen is we're going to have to drop the millage rate, the tax rate, because we have to have a rational nexus between the cost of the services we provide and the taxes we receive from the public in the form of property tax. So I'm not seeing that people are going to be, hit with large tax increases. In fact, we're going to go through this exercise. We're going to kind of assess the tax burden more fairly because some properties are valued maybe more than they should be. But overall, we are not going to be getting some windfall of money. And I think that we've got people in the school advocacy community think that this is going to happen. Well, it's not. And from my point of view, it's not going to happen. But we want to be sensitive to your concerns. This has run its course. We've gone into court over this, and we're going to be facing the reality of reassessment I think the point is to never get into this kind of, you know, hole again, and to institute a rolling reassessment program once we reassess property throughout the county. But I have had extensive discussions with constituents in my area going into this, stressing to them that they shouldn't see a big increase in taxes. Now, the one area where we got an issue is that we can collect for the cost of this. And it, before the COVID crisis hit us, I was hoping that we could craft a deal with the state government where we could use surplus funds to defray the cost and not impose that on our citizenry. So I hope we can somehow, because the state's party to this, 80% of the local property tax goes to the schools, that we can somehow, you know, work some kind of an arrangement and divide the cost, hopefully 80-20, 20% for the county, 80% for the state. But we've got to work on those issues as the case is, you know, matures regarding the state's role in this.
Okay. Any more pertinent questions to Mr. Davis regarding his presentation? Councilman Jaggett.
Mr. Davis, is there any potential for you to prepare perhaps a chart or something showing us exactly what the cost of reassessment potentially could be to the county? Because as you mentioned, you know, the $15 million, however, the school district doesn't have to pay any of that. So what potentially could be the cost? I had heard figures a few years ago that said the county was allowed to actually benefit a 5% evaluation over the assessment process, but I don't know for a fact if that's true or not. So if we prepare some type of a chart as opposed to going into it now, I think that would be helpful for everybody.
Of course.
Okay. Nothing further. We will go to, thank you very much, Mr. Davis.
You're welcome, sir.
Comments by the executive branch.
Good evening.
Moore, I see you on there twice, once muted and once not. So
one is a thank you. This is Sue Moore, Executive Office. What you're seeing is one is the desktop and one is the laptop where I can communicate with you. So just a couple of updates real quick, Council. One is going to be regarding the COVID testing that we've been doing, that the county's been doing in conjunction with the state and DEMA. And I just want you to know that since June 1st, 14,322 tests have been completed. There's been 27 testing events in that time frame. And as you know, by the updates that you receive with the schedule, we're running, you know, weather does play a role in this, but we're scheduling 10 each week, with the exception of Sunday and Tuesdays. And it's going very well. But I do want you to know that we are working with the state. We're working with Curative to fix some issues that we're finding with emails and the Curative site. So we're working through some of that. There are some, you know, registration is really recommended, but we also realize that folks are facing some registration issues along the way. And that's through the you know, the Curative test site. So we're working with them to try to get all that managed. And with all of that said, you know, to pre-register is recommended. Non-registereds are welcome too, and let's not forget that. But on the other side, you have to realize that we are also being limited by the amount of tests that we can do per day based on the amount of tests that we're able to receive per day. So, you know, we've been exceeding 1,000 tests a day, and, you know, we're working to raise our limit, which is 1,000. So it's all good stuff on that front. And if you have any questions about it, you know, please feel free to reach out to one of us over here, because we can certainly find an answer. The other thing I'd like to comment on real quick is some information that you received from Chief of Staff Ammon about the CARES Act task force committees. And that's just a real quick update to say that it's moving along. There have been, let's see, it was health equity, nonprofits, and small business met for the first time last week. And this week, let's see, there's the most vulnerable is another kickoff meeting, and that's going to be the 25th. And then the follow-up meetings will begin. And, that's all the update I have for now. Thank you so much.
Any questions from anyone? Councilman Wood.
Yeah, Ms. Moore, I know I spoke to Matt about trying to schedule some later in the evening testing sites for those people that are working during the day and can't get to the daily ones. Has there been any talk about doing some later in the evening, maybe going from, say, 4 to 8 or 4 to 7 or something like that?
I'm not sure that we've run them that late just yet. But I'm not going to say that we can't do that. I know that we've run, I think, I don't want to guess, but I thought we had one that ran a little later. But let me look into that, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, I've been getting calls of people that say they can't get to the ones during the day because of work. So I'm just hoping, and I know I spoke to Matt, and they did do, I know we did one that was a little later, but I think if we could do one, maybe at least one a week, in the middle of the week, maybe, that people can get to.
Yes, sure. So let's see. I see with this week coming up, it looks like the latest one we have, which is on a Saturday. Remember, we do have the Saturday schedule typically, which is the most convenient for folks. But we do have an 11 to 3, and it looks like the Route 9 library is a 2 to 6 p.m. this week, and that's
good.
25th.
Yeah, that's good. Those are. I think the later a few would be great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Moore? Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. Susan, thanks for that update. The Claymont, recent one in Claymont, really well at the Claymont Community Center.
Indeed, it did.
Over 700 people tested. So today I received a call from the executive director of the Bellevue Community Center, and he's volunteering the center to be a test location as well. They have a large parking lot. They're kind of like not operating. So I don't know if we can put that in the program in a future date for Bellevue Community Center to be a COVID testing site.
That is a generous offer, and we'll certainly look into it. Thanks so much for letting us know.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Ms. Finnegan, is there any public comment out there?
I do not see any public comment.
My disappointment is extreme. Can I get a motion?
Motion. So moved.
Motion adjourned. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 6:30. Have a good break.